Amen. Well, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been set free. Free from the bondage of sin and shame. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. You know, I've been saved a little while, and I'm so thankful that I know Him. There's a lot of people just don't know Him. You start talking about it, and you come in here, and I was at the convenience store this morning. You know, my boys love them biscuits. And we stopped to get them, the biscuit. It just changes their life. But we got out of the car, and I had on this purple shirt, and I didn't have my jacket on. There's a couple of guys standing there, and they was talking. Another guy looked over at them, and they looked at me, and he hollered. He said, "What y'all doing? Y'all supposed to be in church." And we walked by, and I told the boys, "Let's come on in." You know, a lot of people don't think it's important. They mock at it. They ride them down the road every day, and they look at us in here and say, "Well, they're in there doing it again." Well, I want to tell you, one day they're going to be looking for us and we're going to be gone. Because we're going to be gone to be with the Lord in eternity in heaven. And they're going to be looking for somebody that can tell them where they can get some help. But it's going to be too late then. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know who I belong to. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. You know, there have been times in my life that as I've grown in my relationship with God, you know how it is. You be around people that are not Christians. And, you know, do I really want to say my blessing in front of them? Do I really want to read my Bible in front of them? Now I get it out and I lay it on the table everywhere I go. They stay away. It's like a snake. They see it and they walk around it and they look at it and they say, they're afraid it's going to bite them. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that I didn't know I was going to say all this. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not ashamed this morning to be a Christian. Not ashamed to say I'm not what I used to be. Not ashamed to say I'm free. Now, you got your Bibles this morning. I'm going to try to preach something the devil don't want me to preach to you. And he's been on me all week trying to keep me from preaching it to you. And every now and then I preach on this. One time I can remember in 1994, I preached a week's revival up in Douglasville. And two nights that week I preached on spiritual warfare. And I thought I knew something about it. You know, I was one of those young, on-fire preachers that just was ready to face the devil, charge hell with a water pistol. Y'all have heard that before. And what kind of preacher are you? I'm a devil fighter and I'm a Pharisee chaser. That's what I'd tell them. And I preached that week, and I learned after that what spiritual warfare was. Because I want to tell you something. If you're trying to serve God and you're trying to live for God, you're going to fight a battle. I can remember one time, the last church I pastored, I had a guy, he was a faithful member of our church. He loved the Lord, and he was there, and he said, "I want to talk to you." He said, "Why is it that the more I try to serve the Lord, it seems like the more that the devil comes against me? It seems like the more that things seem to be problems in my life." And you know, folks, I want to tell you something. If you're not fighting a battle, you must not be doing a whole lot for God. Because if you fight, you know, if you're going to serve the Lord in this day and time, you're going to fight a battle. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil knows that he has but a short time. And he knows that it's not much longer he's going to be able to persecute the people of God. You know, his name was Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. You study through the book of Ezekiel and you find the four corners of the throne of God. You don't find one over it. He was the light bearer over the throne of God, but he was cast down. And now the church bears the light. We are the light of God, shining dark into the darkness of this world. And he hates us because of it, because we took his job. And that's why when we shine brightest, that's when he attacks you the most. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to read just two verses, then I'll let you be seated. And I will tell you, I got a lot of scripture here this morning. They're going to try to put it on the screen, but it's all about the Word of God. And I want to say this, as you stand to your feet and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to read the 18th and the 19th verse. And here's something I want you to understand. My opinion means nothing. Nothing. And what I want you to understand, and I want you to see what the Word of God says. And it's going to be all I can do just to give you the scripture this morning. But the Word of God has something to say about what's going on today in our world. The Word of God has a lot to say about the battles that we face as Christians. And I want to read to you the verse that Paul wrote here to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, you know, when I think about the Christian walk, I don't want to think about it as a warfare, but sometimes it is. You know, sometimes it is because we have so much coming against us that is attempting to stop us from honoring and glorifying the Lord. You know, they'd love to silence your voice. They'd love to have it to where, and you know, there's a lot of people that think if you're a Christian, you're a problem in this country. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe if you're a Christian, you're what's holding what's left of this country together. And it's because of the prayers of the saints that we're not in worse shape than we are today. He said that you might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Now let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. God, we're so thankful that we can feel your spirit. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're saved by the grace of God. And Lord, that you give us the privilege and the honor to stand in your house and even speak of your name. Lord, we ask you this morning that you bind every devil, every demon of hell, and run them out of this place. And God, give us liberty. Lord, most importantly, help us proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, that if there's one here that's lost, they'd come and be saved. But if, sir, there's somebody, Lord, that's fighting that battle, Lord, that you'd give them strength and you'd help them, Lord, to have victory. And, Lord, just to stand strong, to stand faithful, and go on committed unto the end. God, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. And knowing, Lord, in us there's no good thing, Lord, what's good in us is that we've been touched, that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, for all you do, Lord, all you're going to do, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And this we ask in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses to start with. I want you to understand that Paul understood what spiritual warfare was. Now, you remember he was a persecutor of the church. Paul was a lot like what's going on in the world today. You know, I heard a report this week to where this ISIS group was going into houses in Afghanistan, and they were asking the children if they were Christians. And if the Christian and if the children said that they were Christians, they were shooting the children but not shooting the parents to create suffering in them to get people to deny God. Now, what you and I face mostly in our battle is on the spiritual realm. But I want you to understand something. Sometimes it comes into the natural, and you need to be strong spiritually if you'll ever be able to stand in the natural. But Paul understood what warfare was. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. He gives examples of his own warfare. Paul said, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Okay, and then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he says this. He said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work." Now here's what I want you to understand. As Paul went about preaching the word, as he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he fought a spiritual battle during the entire time that he was on this earth. And he had people that were opposing him and people that come against him. And if you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that when he went into a place and preached and they were worshiping false gods and he told them about Jesus, people were harmed by it and they got offended by it because they were making a living selling shrines. And you say, well, it's just a trinket. I want to tell you that we fight in the spiritual realm and it is real. I can remember one time down where I worked, we had a lady that was causing problems and she was creating problems for everybody and she had a foul spirit about her. And I went and talked to her one day and she looked at me and she said, "I just want you to know that I can hurt people with my mind." And as I stood there in front of her, I want to tell you something, folks. I'd already been educated in the realm of spiritual warfare. And I looked at her and I said, "I want you to know something, that there are only two powers. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." And that kind of power does not come from heaven. It comes from the devil. And I know who you are. If we understand the Word of God, we understand that we're already on the winning side, okay? We don't have to back up from anybody. What we just need to do is be committed that when the war comes, we're ready to stand and give honor and glory to God. I'm going to preach about winning the spiritual battle. We know that there is an attack on the church. There's an attack on Christ and Christianity. It's okay to be religious, just don't be a Christian. Sometimes it's even okay to be a Christian as long as you go to one of those churches where they tell you that it's about you and not about God. That's phony baloney. It's about Him, it's not about us. There's an attack on the purity of the gospel. There's an attack on marriage and the family as God designed it. There is an attack on the sanctity of life, and there is an attack on the Judeo-Christian value system. You know, they got these television programs that are coming on now, and they call it the new normal. I want you to know something. God's not changed. He's not going to change on our behalf. And one day when we stand before Him, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to give an account. And I want to give you 3 points this morning. In this spiritual battle, we must be able to recognize our enemy. And then being able to ready ourselves for the battle. Now, if we're in a battle, we need to get ready. And then we want to talk about relying on our Lord to give us the victory. See, I can't do it myself. One thing I learned when I was going to preach on this is I learned right quick, I'm no match for the devil, okay? I can't. I mean, you know, just because you've been in church all your life and you've graduated from Sunday school and you're this and you're that, you're no match for the devil. You need God to be infilling you with His Spirit. You need to be on your knees in prayer, and you need to be filled with the Word of God. I was reading about Wilmington in the Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, and this is some things that he said. He said, if we're going to do battle with the enemy, we should know our own weakness. We also need to know our own strength, okay? And we need to rely on those strengths. We need to know the weakness of our enemy, and we also need to know the strength of our enemy. And I'll tell you how you know these things about the enemy. Just read the Word of God, okay? Just read through the Word of God. Well, if you want to know yourself, just get real before the Lord like David did when he said, search me, O God, and try me, and know my heart and my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and ask God to purge you for His honor and glory. And He will. The first thing I want to share with you this morning is to recognize your enemy. Now, who is our enemy? You know, our enemy is not, you know, contrary to popular belief, it's not your spouse. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your boss. It's not your kids. It's not that mean guy that ran you off the road. Now, you say, well, you know, I could the devil get in them? Well, sure he could, but let's really recognize who the enemy is. The enemy is not the liberal press. It's not the godless lawmaker. It's not the people who are running for office that deny God. The enemy is the devil himself. Remember, there's two powers. Okay, there's only two. There are no other powers, just two. Our enemy is the devil himself. And if that's our enemy, we need to understand his motive. Why is Satan after the people of God? In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12 through 14, I want to read to you. And I want you to see your enemy's motive. This is what it says. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, I want you to see that last phrase that I read. He said, I will be like the Most High. Those words right there, the Most High, those words, that name is El Elyon. That's the name of God. It means the strongest of the strong ones. Now, that's who God is. And what Satan wanted to do is he wanted to be like God. He wanted to sit in God's seat, but he did not want to do God's work. So his motive is to be like the Most High. It's to sit in Christ's seat. He's lifted up with pride and with his beauty. It's like a lot of folks today. They think they're so good. They think they're so strong. They have so many answers to the questions that they do not need God. And they've been deceived, the truth is, by the enemy. We also need to understand his movement. Where do we fight the enemy? When you look at these things that are going on over in the Middle East, they talk about something called the theater of operations. That's the place that you fight the enemy. It's where the battle actually takes place. Well, most of the battle that we fight is in the spiritual realm. Now, if you'll remember in John chapter 4, the Lord told the little woman at the well, "They that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Sometimes I think we forget the fact that we are a trichotomy in ourselves, and that we have a body and we have a soul and we have a spirit. And that's why I think it's important for us to understand we suffer and we live in the natural, but oftentimes the war is going on in the spiritual, and that's why you need to understand the Spirit of God so that you'll know what's going on. You ever had those times that you're in the house of the Lord and you're going about your day and you just feel a heaviness about you? I want you to understand, if God would open your eyes, as Elisha prayed for the servant boy, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And when his eyes were open, he beheld the chariots of fire round about the mountain. If we could see what's going on in the spirit realm, sometimes it would overwhelm us. But there is a battle going on in the spirit realm. We need to understand it. We need to understand that there's a battle. We need to understand his movement and where we fight the enemy. In 1 John chapter 4, I want to give you some more scripture. It says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now let's stop right there for just a minute. All these false religions of the world, where'd they come from? They either come from God or they come from the enemy. Okay, the false religions of the world that deny Jesus Christ are no different than MS-13 gang in California that's killing people every day. It comes from the same place. It comes from the enemy. And you're not going to win any favor preaching like that, but that's what the Word of God teaches us. It says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come." And it says, "And even now already it is in the world." Now, it was in the world at that time. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We're getting closer to the return of Christ. We're going to deal with it more today than they did in those days. You see, Satan is regularly accusing and seeking to destroy the family of God. And if you're serving God, he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. You know, to see a family get up and get on their clothes and go to the house of God and have expectations for the things of God in their house is becoming increasingly and increasingly less popular in America. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because we are under attack from the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You ever wonder, well, what makes people do the things that they do? Or what makes people act like that? What would make somebody kill somebody for their tennis shoes? And you know, when you go talk to people and some of them say, "Well, I don't believe in good or evil." Being taught in the colleges today that truth is whatever you perceive it to be. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth." He said, "I am the life." And today, where are we at? See, we're in a spiritual war. And Satan goes after the strong. And that's who he wants to stop. He wants to go after those that preach the Word of God. He wants to go after those that teach Sunday school. He wants to go after that deacon that's faithful at church. He wants to go after that one that's willing to serve and to get you disheartened, to keep you from doing the things that honor the Lord. In Job chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. It says, and Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Now, where's he at today? He's going to and fro in the earth, and he's walking up and down in it, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to give you this thought to think about. We're living in a world today where Christianity, and especially born-again Christians, you know, they like to categorize. I'm proud to be born again, by the way. I'm proud to know that Jesus, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. Satan's not out there looking for somebody that's already a gang member. He's already got them. He's not looking for somebody that out there believes that anything is okay and they can just do anything that they want to do. He's already got them. Who's he looking for? What did Jesus tell Simon Peter? He said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now here's Peter. This is the one that walked beside the Lord, you know. And he said, when Jesus would speak, he'd say, "Oh, Lord, no, Lord, that's not going to happen." He's the one that when they came to take Jesus, drew his sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. He's the one that when Christ would speak, sometimes would cut him off and say, "We're not going to let that happen to you, Lord." This is the same one, just like me preaching in 1994, that thought he understood, but Jesus said, "You're about to find out what spiritual warfare is all about." So it wasn't but a short time thereafter that Peter was in a great spiritual battle. See, they had taken Jesus, and Peter followed from a distance. And three different times they approached him, and they said, "Wasn't you with him?" "Oh no, he denied." "Weren't you with him?" And he denied. And the third time they said, "Weren't you with him? Your speech betrayeth you." And he denied him the third time with a curse. But praise God, here's what happened. When Jesus turned and his eyes met Peter's eyes, Peter wept bitterly and he went out and he repented before God and God restored him. God understands where we're at. Peter understood. Now what did Peter write after that? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, here's what Peter wrote. Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now when I begin to study a little bit about lions, they say that when a lion is hunting his prey, that lion will not roar. They say that that lion will not roar because he wants to sneak up to destroy you. Here's why Satan roars in your life. He knows that he cannot touch you unless God would take down the hedge and remove a veil. He can't do anything to you. You just keep trusting God and serving God. He can't touch you unless God allows it. So what does he do? He roars to cause you to be afraid. That's what he does. So we need to recognize our enemy and who he is. We need to recognize his motives. We need to recognize his methods. This is the way that the enemy comes against us. See, if Satan cannot get you one way, he's going to come at you another way. Now, what Satan is, he is the liar. He is the liar of liars. And what he does when he comes at you is he brings partial truth. Now, you read through the book of Genesis where he told Eve there when she was at the tree, he took a sentence that God gave her, "You shall surely die," and he added one word, "You shall not surely die." One thing I'll have you, I want you to understand, I can't preach this exhaustively this morning, we don't have time. But when Satan comes against you, he comes with a question. He always comes questioning the Word of God, always questioning the truth. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the Holy Spirit speaks with a statement. And it lets you know exactly where you stand. He's a liar, he's a deceiver. And here's what he does. When he deceives and he brings deceit, he blinds eyes. He keeps people from being able to see the truth. He is a deceiver and he is the accuser of the brethren. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to come at you and he wants to bring up everything in your past. He wants to tell you that there's no way that God could love you. I want to tell you something. You say, "Get behind me, Satan." I want you to know that if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, the scripture teaches us that all things are passed away, all things have become new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. He just can't stand it. You see, I heard before I'd ever met missionary Justice Banuel, I'd heard him and read in some of his books, and he told the story of a pineapple. And when you pick the pineapple up and you look at it, you see it as beautiful until you turn it over. And there was a hole in the bottom of the pineapple where the cobra snake had went up into the pineapple and it had eaten all of the fruit. You know, God wants you to bear fruit. Satan doesn't care if you're beautiful on the outside as long as there's no fruit. That's why he's going to come after somebody that's honoring God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and you listen to this verse. You ever tried to witness to somebody and you just could not get through to them? Here's why, right here in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and verse number 4. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God of this world. Who's that? That's Satan. He is the God of this world. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And now here's something I believe. The devil cannot stand in the presence of the blood of Jesus. When he's coming against you, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and you just go on and you march forward and you trust God. I heard a guy giving his testimony one time. He said, I was sitting at lunch trying to witness to a young man. He said, I'd talk to him, and I'd talk to him, and I'd talk to him, and I couldn't get through. And he said, right in the middle of it, he said, we were talking. I just rebuked the devil, and he looked at me, and I changed the subject. He said, in just a few minutes after talking, I said, can I tell you about Christ? When 15 minutes before, he didn't want to hear it. He said, yeah, you can. And the man got saved. Do you know that Satan is the liar? He is the deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. And what he wants to do is blind your minds. He wants to blind your heart to where that you can't see that the things of God are important. You're not here by chance. You didn't come from nothing that turned into something. I did not evolve from no monkey. I was created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. And one day, saved by grace, I'm going to go be with God. I don't know what people think. I tell you what, based on this word, they don't think. Because Satan has blinded their minds. Satan also has many deadly devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, this is the latter part of the verse. It warns us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And then it said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Sometimes what I think we need to do when we come into the house of God, we need to be on guard. I heard a preacher not long ago, I was talking to him, and he talked about, he said, when I know that I have to preach, he said, and I'm walking in my calling, he said, I'm very, very alert and attentive to what's going on around me. He said, because I don't want the devil to come in and throw something in front of me and cause me to fall and stumble. And that's exactly what he wants to do. You know that? I want you to know something. Stand up here trying to preach. I'm excited to get to preach every week. But I want to tell you, when I wasn't pastoring, God didn't expect me to live any different. And I told my wife, I said, the way God wants me to live and expects me to live, you'd think I was pastoring a huge church. Now, folks, you look up here and you say, well, I expect a preacher to live right. You know, God expects you to live right. It's no different. But he said, when I'm walking in my calling, he said, I'm very alert. You know, we need to be alert to the working and the devices of Satan. Here's what he wants to do in the church. He wants to bring disappointment. He wants to bring discouragement. He wants to bring despair in your life. He wants to bring doubt. He wants to bring disbelief. He wants to bring distraction to you. He wants double-mindedness to be present in you. Dishonesty, deceit, dullness, deadness, delay, discord, defilement. Defaming of your brother, disobedience. That's what he wants. You know, what we need to do is walk in the Spirit of God. The Scripture says if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's why it's difficult. That's why it's a constant war, because it's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. And if we're not walking close to God, we'll fall, because we're just flesh. See, we need to understand his many tactics. We also need to understand the many faces of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14 and 15. Listen to this. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own works. Do you know that there is a religion in America today that is very strong and very large that started because a man didn't believe that the Word of God was complete? And I want to tell you what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that Satan, as an angel of light, came to him and he said, I want to show you over here where the rest of these scriptures are. Because the Bible's not complete. And he didn't have enough spiritual discernment. The Bible says to believe not every spirit, for every spirit is not of God. And from this we see denominations, religions being born. We see corrupt doctrines being taught. False prophets, false religions, again, try the spirits. We see corrupt interpretations of Scripture. You know, a lot of folks today are trying to take away the deity of Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He was born of a virgin. He lived without sin. He was crucified, as the Scripture said. He ascended, as the Scripture said. And He's now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. He's God. And He has no equal on this earth. He's not just a prophet. He's God. We need to understand His tactics, His faces, and we also need to understand His snares. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 22 to 23, it says, He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. You see, sometimes what we don't realize is we get out and we get involved in things. And yes, God's grace and God's mercy is true, and God will help you. But sometimes what Satan doesn't want you to see is the damage and the consequences. One thing that cannot be taken away is the consequence. Many people are suffering today because they believed. You see, there's three snares that he really pulls. That's lust, and that's greed, and that's power. I've heard people say you have no idea the feeling till you get into a place of great power. He said that's why there are so many people that start out on the right track and they start out really trying to help, but as soon as they get into that position of power, they're changed. And they're changed by the enemy. What he wants to do is he wants to pull you and get you to be deceived. When I was studying this, I come along something that would be a great example called the Judas goat. The Judas goat is a black goat, and this is an example of Satan's snares. You see, when slaughtering a sheep, a butcher attempts to get sheep to walk up the ramp and to turn and go into the slaughterhouse to be butchered. But he has to get them funneled, he has to get them lined up, but the sheep don't want to walk up the ramp. So they get the goat, and the Judas goat is trained to walk up the ramp. And as it walks up the ramp, it'll walk so far, and then it'll turn and it'll look back to see if the sheep are following. And if the sheep are not following, it'll stop and it'll walk a little farther and it'll look. And eventually the sheep see the confidence of the Judas goat, and they begin to walk behind the goat to go up the ramp. When they get to the top of the ramp, the Judas goat will turn to the right and go and return to the yard to lead other sheep to the slaughter. But the sheep will turn and go into the slaughterhouse, not knowing that they had been led to their death. That's what this scripture in Proverbs is like. Satan wants to lead you to your death. And we don't believe him, and we're not going to follow him. We need to recognize our enemy. But here's where we stand. We need to ready ourselves for the battle. And I'm going to try to hurry through the rest of this. There's so much in it, there's no way I could preach it all this morning. But you know, if we're going to ready ourselves for the battle, if you're going to do battle with the enemy, you need to sanctify yourselves for the battle. You study through the scripture, when they were going to march around Jericho, he said, sanctify yourselves. You know what that means? That means to look inside of yourself and see if you're ready to do battle. I heard them talking about that movie when they were making it fireproof, and they said, we got everybody that was in that movie had to be interviewed. He said, we set everybody down and we talked to them basically about sanctifying themselves. They said, we want you to look at your life and we want you to pray and ask God if there's anything in your life that would keep God from blessing this movie because of you. They said, we want people to be saved as for reviewing and seeing this movie. We want marriages to be put back together. We want homes to be put back together. So you need to look in your life. You don't want to be the one that'll keep God from blessing it. I want to tell you, in my house as a preacher, in this church as a preacher, every day trying to walk in my calling, I look at myself and I say, God, I don't want to be the one that'll keep you from blessing hiring First Baptist Church. God, I don't want to be the one that would cause my children not to want to be Christians. I don't want to be the one to cause my wife to go and tell other people, yeah, he preaches in church, but y'all don't really know him. You got to sanctify yourselves. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And here's the point. We need to look inside ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, Paul he said, you need to war a good warfare. You know, it's a race. You know, I'm going to live this life. I'm only going to be here so long. Then I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. And when I read this and I look at it and I think about a besetting sin. You know, it could be sins, but it's that one thing. It's that thing in your life that the Holy Spirit's already showed you that you know you need to deal with it. And here's why. Because every time you're in a spiritual battle, every time you need to pray, every time you need to stand, here's what Satan's going to do. He's going to come over and he's going to take his finger in it. He's going to say, what about that? What about that? You know, you got to deal with your besetting sin and you got to ask God, Lord, help me. God will give you victory. The Bible says in one place, you have not yet resisted against sin unto blood. How much did Jesus resist sin? All the way to blood. All the way to the cross. See, if you've never driven down the road or been in your prayer closet and say, God, please give me victory. God, please help me. You know, in order to get help, you got to first want to get help. You got to stop making peace with your sin. Because as long as it's in your life and you're trying to fight a spiritual battle and serve God, you're going to be always reminded by the enemy of what's going on in your life. See, the next verse, when we're talking about getting victory, in verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he's now set hand down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing? He's hearing you every time you pray. And he's saying, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. See, sometimes the devil gets way too much credit. You hear people say, well, the devil made me do it. We got to be careful. Now, he's real. We don't want to give him too much credit, okay? We need to recognize we can't fight him by ourselves, but I can't fight him at all if I'm not willing to deal with my own sin. Do not blame the devil for what you are not willing to turn loose of. Now think about that. That's tough. I know it's tough. That's why I didn't want to preach this. That's why the devil tried to kill me this week. In James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. But God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then in James chapter 4, verse number 7 and number 8, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, if you don't make your mind will make you. And then the devil has the victory. That's why the first thing that I want to do to be able to stand is I want to examine myself. I want to deal with my sin. And number 2, I'm going to study the Word of God. You know, I like the Awana program because it puts the Word of God into your heart and your mind. That way when you're out and it's in here this morning, we're bold. You say, well, I'm bold preaching, and you're bold listening. But when you go out into the world and you're going to be approached by people that don't believe, in situations where people don't believe, you need the Word of God down inside of your heart so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance to give you ammunition so that you'll be able to stand. That's why it says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now understand, Satan knows the Scripture too. Remember? And what he's going to try to do is get you to doubt. But you study Scripture and you compare Scripture with Scripture, and the Scripture is our sword. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? Psalms 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then verse number 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then, once we examine ourselves, we study the manual, we ought to seek the Lord in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, most of the battle is right here. Right here. It's right between our ears. And it's a matter of getting our thought life right, and it's a matter of getting the things that we think about and the things that we put into our life and our heart and our mind right in the sight of God. And in this prayer, we need to understand that sometimes, as it says in Matthew chapter 17, sometimes this kind, it said, cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. You know, I love to pray and God answer a prayer. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just have prayer and pray about everything. It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you'll pray and God will move and it's fantastic. Sometimes you've got to get in earnest. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual. That's intense and continual. When you seek God and you say, Lord, we're going to get victory. Like I heard a preacher say one time, talking about his son was in trouble, his son was off in the world, and he told his son, he said, son, you might as well just come on, because me and the Lord got your number. And we're not going to quit praying, and we're going to pray that God will make the covers too short. You know, the Bible speaks of that. We're going to make it to where you can't sleep. We're going to make it to where you can't peace. Have peace. We're going to put God on you. He said, son, I'm going to put the Lord on you. You know, there's a lot of people today that need the Lord put on them. I want the Lord on me to the extent that I stay where I'm supposed to be. Amen. We need to recognize our enemy, ready ourselves for battle. And this is the last one, and it's short. We need to rely on our leader to guide us to victory. And number one, we need to be courageous. We need to take courage. And I'm going to give you some more scripture. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gives us, okay? God's got a lot He'll give you if you'll ask Him for it. Joshua 1:9, it says, have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage, and don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And here's one thing that I've understood in my times of fighting and spiritual warfare, is I can't stand by myself. You know, folks, I want to tell you, there are times when it might get rough, and here's what I say. I say, Lord, I know where you're at, and I want to stand with you. But if I stand today, it's because of you. I may not understand how it's going to end. I may not understand how the victory is going to come. But, Lord, I'm just going to put it all in your hands. I'm yours. Be courageous and be comforted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, now here's something to understand in our Christian walk. The devil don't come at me like he did when I was 20. He don't come at me like he did when I was 30. He don't come at me like he did when I was 40. And yes, I have to keep going. You know, you ever think, at 40, I wish when I was 20 that I knew what I know when I'm 40. I've said that so many times. But folks, if I live to be 60, you know what I'm going to say? I wish I knew when I was what I know now. See, the devil knows you're getting stronger. You've won some battles. You claimed the victory. You've been through some trials and you're still standing and you're still praising God. He's not going to leave you alone as long as you're on this earth and you're serving the Lord. And He's going to come at you in a different way. But I want you to know, all you have to do, this is what we do, is we look back and we remember where God has brought us from. And He's not going to leave us in the end. He's going to stay with us.
And we can take comfort. I love this verse. I use it a lot in Hebrews 4:15. It says, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, but without sin. Then we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God can help us. We can be confident. We can be confident that He helps us. In Revelation 1:18, here's what He said. He said, I'm He that liveth and was dead. And He said, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And He says, I have the keys of hell and of death. I want you to know something. When Jesus died and was resurrected, He won victory over our greatest enemy, which is death. You know, death for a Christian is just a crossing over. We're going to live in eternity with the Lord. Do I understand it all? No. No. Does anybody? I don't think so. But I'll tell you this much. I believe it with everything that is in me. Every ounce of my fiber, and what I want to try to do is stand faithful for the Word of God and for God in the midst of the warfare that we fight, that God would have the victory. I want to ask you something. They're going to come with a song. I know that this warfare is real. I've experienced it. And what Satan wants you to do is just, you know, it's okay to just be a passive Christian. Just don't have power with God. It's okay to be a Christian as long as you are a closet Christian. You know, just don't tell nobody. Don't witness for the Lord. You know, you don't want to offend anybody, and you don't want to be persecuted. God wants you to have victory. He wants you to live a victorious life. And you know the most important thing? The Scripture says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And if you're here this morning, I want you to think about it right now. If you were to die today and you could, are you going to spend eternity with the Lord? Do you know? If you don't know, you can know. And I wouldn't want to go out of this house this morning after hearing some of this stuff. And I tried to give you as much Scripture as I could and let the devil cheat me out of knowing I was saved by the grace of God. I want you to rise to your feet. I want you to know this morning that God loves you. This church loves you. There's nothing I'd rather do than see somebody get saved by the grace of God. And when we fight our battles and we're going to fight them, I want you to know we have a helper. He's an ever-present help in a time of need, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you just come as God speaks to your heart as they sing, and let God work a marvelous work in your life this morning. I'd love to be able to pray with somebody.
So I come to tell you that He's trying to hide this precious blood that gave me.